From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Wisdom for the Asking. The text is James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, there is no if in the matter, for I am sure I lack it. What do I know? How can I guide my own way? How can I direct others? Lord, I am a mass of folly, and wisdom I have none. Thou sayest, let him ask of God. Lord, I now ask. Here at thy footstool, I ask to be furnished with heavenly wisdom for this day's perplexities, aye, and for this day's simplicities. For I know I may do very stupid things, even in plain matters, unless thou dost keep me out of mischief. I thank thee that all I have to do is to ask. What grace is this on thy part, that I have only to pray in faith, and thou wilt give me wisdom? Thou dost here promise me a liberal education, and that too without an angry tutor or a scolding usher. This too thou wilt bestow without a fee. Bestow it on a fool who lacks wisdom. O Lord, I thank thee for that positive and expressive word, it shall be given him. I believe it. Thou wilt this day make thy babe to know the hidden wisdom, which the carnally prudent never learn. Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory.
Praise the Lord.
the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, "Preparing to Meet God." Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, "Preparing to Meet God." In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as the schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of "Preparing to Meet God," and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues the message entitled "Satan's Diabolical Purpose in the Temptation of Christ," part of this series in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. We've seen that Christ refused to use his divine power to turn stones to bread to satisfy his own needs. That is, he would not do something that his redeemed people could not do. Then, in the second temptation, Satan wanted Christ to prove his eternal sonship without Calvary, for the devil hates the idea of blood redemption. The Lord Jesus would not employ some dramatic action to make the people recognize his greatness. In the third temptation, Satan promised Christ all the kingdoms of the world on condition that Jesus worship him. The kingdoms of this world were already promised to Christ, but not until his work of redemption was completed. Again, Satan exerted all his power to turn the Savior from the cross. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, "Satan's Diabolical Purpose in the Temptation of Christ."
So that was the first temptation, or a subtle attack of the devil. Second was equally subtle. He takes Christ, Matthew 4, verses 5 and 6, to the pinnacle of the temple. I'm not going to get into the fruitless argument of how he did this and how he took him to the high mountain. I have to come to the conclusion that there's none of us knows. We accept that he did it. So he took him to the pinnacle of the temple, And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Again, notice what he's saying. Give us a sign of your sonship. Do you see now when the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus saying, give us a sign. Jesus called them an evil, a wicked, and an adulterous generation. They were just like their father, the devil. He saw the connection. Satan was saying, give us this sign of your sonship. Prove yourself. And be acknowledged at once. He quotes scripture, partially. Always beware when the devil quotes the Bible. Always beware when one of the emissaries of Satan quotes the Bible. When I hear an apostate quoting scripture, somebody who normally denies scripture, questions scripture, denigrates scripture and hates it, when I hear an apostate quoting scripture, I know he has no good purpose in mind, and I need to be doubly on my guard. Satan quoting scripture, and he's saying the scripture says God has promised to give his angels to keep you. They're going to bear you up. Can you see the picture? If you just cast yourself down, it will be a mighty act of faith. It will be a leap of faith. The angels of heaven will come and they will bear you up, and all Jerusalem will see it. The world will come to understand. They have to recognize you to be the Son of God. You don't need to take the long, tedious road of suffering, of agony, and of death. When one leap of faith will give you the acceptance of the people. That was the temptation. Subtle way of saying, abandon the idea of a blood redemption. There's another way. There's a better way. There's an easier way. Do you hear the hiss of the serpent? Every time there is a proposal of salvation for sinners or an acceptance of Christ apart from redemption by blood, you're dealing with the hiss of the serpent. That's always Satan's cry. It's the cry of the Unitarian. It's the cry of the apostate. A Christ to be received without blood. A salvation to be procured without blood. Jesus nailed it immediately, for he saw it for what it is. Thank God Jesus did not come to be born in a manger, to stay a little baby for people to drool over in some sentimental fashion. Jesus did not come to be a babe and then a man and simply to live a perfect life and show us how we ought to live. We did all that. But the Lord Jesus came to be born, to live, to keep God's law in its precept, and then to die under the rod of divine wrath and vengeance against our sin, so that bearing our sin in his own body to the tree, by the shedding of his blood, he would purchase our redemption. That's why he came. That's why he came. And that's why Satan made this proposal to stop him. I haven't time to show you how he did it, but if you follow the life of Christ, you'll see again and again Satan making attempts to keep Christ from the cross. Anything to keep him from the cross. You see that in the third temptation as well. where in verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 4, he takes him up into the exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, and he saith to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. As Luke puts it in chapter 4, verse 6, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. The devil was a liar, but even liar as he was, he had to stop short of making himself the master of the world. He said, it's been delivered me. He recognized the truth of Job 1, that anything he did by permission. And here he comes, and he's making a huge offer to Christ. A huge offer. There's the kingdoms of the world. There's all the glory of them, and I will give them to you. He made a huge offer because he was playing for high stakes. You see, I believe that though the devil doesn't know everything, he knew enough to know this, and of course the Lord Jesus knew it, that all those kingdoms are deeded to Christ. All the kingdoms of the world are deeded to Christ, ultimately. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 speaks of the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. I was just this morning in my psalm for today looking at the glorious prophecy of the 67th psalm. And the earth shall yield her increase, and God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Because in verse 4 we find that He will judge the people righteously, and He will govern the nations upon the earth. That is God's promise. That is God's prophecy. That is God's program regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way around it. The kingdom of this world have been deeded to Christ. The temptation once again was to the Savior, since they're yours, take them now. Once again, avoid the toil, avoid the pain, avoid the cross. But I think there's an added idea here. If you take these kingdoms, look at them. How much good could be done if Jesus were governor of these kingdoms? How much good you can do? You rule the world. Take it now. But the price was too high. All this, if you fall down and worship me. A desperate gamble by the old serpent, because he knew it was either all this if you fall down and worship me, or all this anyway if you stay the course and crush my head. To comply with this would have made Christ an antichrist. Would have made him an idolater, a sinner, and would have slaughtered the last hope of salvation for a lost world. The Lord Jesus saw that very clearly, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. That was always his response to anything that would stop him from going to the cross. You remember in Matthew 16, 22, 23, when he announced his intention of going to the cross, Peter said, be it far from you, Lord. Lord, don't go to the cross. And immediately, addressing Peter, rather addressing Satan, who had befuddled Peter's brain, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. The very same words as are used here. That was always his response. When you stop to think of it, how the Lord Jesus towers above all others at this point. Satan offered Christ all the world, all its power, all its glory. He rejected it all for a cross. And thank God all that that cross would purchase. But look at the rest of the world. Satan offered Esau a mess of pottage, and he took it. He offered Achan 100 shekels of silver and 50 shekels of gold with a Babylonish garment, and he took them. He offered Gehazi 1 talent of silver, 2 changes of raiment. They took them. He offered Judas Iscariot 30 measly, dirty pieces of silver. And he took them. For these paltry little trinkets of the world, these men bartered their very souls. They're in hell today. In hell today, still paying for their bargain. For Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul?" Satan comes to you and me exactly as he came to Christ. You can never have the world, but he'll offer you a little bit of it. More than you'll ever really get, he offers. I want to ask you this morning, what are you selling your soul for? What foolish little trinket of the world is it that the devil puts in your hand or dangles before your eyes? You're willing to damn your soul for that thing. Of course, he tells you, that'll not be the outcome. You can have the world and Christ. You can have your sin and eternal life. You can run with the devil on the broad road and yet get in through the gate to glory. He'll tell you all that, but he is a liar from the beginning and the father of all lies. Men and women, let me tell you, there is only one possible proper response to Satan's temptation, and it is the response of our Savior. Get behind me. Jesus said that when the proposal was brought down to the essence of all temptation, where Satan says, "Fall down and worship me. I want your heart. I want your mind. I want your devotion. I want your worship. Worship me." Let me tell you, no matter what the devil gives you, if the cost is even a moment's worship of him, it's too much. It's too much. For all hell is in that proposal. The answer is to stand with Christ in this.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.